This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. James Finlay and Andrew the Apprentice with you. And tonight we are going techie.
We are going techie, that's right. The Federal Parliament is, today, discussing the new data retention laws.
It's very newsworthy.
It is very newsworthy.
Everyone's talking about it.
Yes.
Whether they know much about it or not.
Like us.
Yes, that's right. Don't really know that much.
We don't really know that much.
I know what concerns me, but I feel like it's going over a lot of people's heads.
Yes.
So we've got someone in to talk a
exactly.
little bit more.
Exactly. We need to find out a little bit more and if whether or not our community needs to be concerned.
Now, someone who knows quite a lot about this, because it's A, his job, but yep. also B, because I think he might get off on knowing this much about it, is Josh Taylor from ZDNet. Thank you for joining us.
No problem.
How long have you been following this?
On and off for about, I guess, 4 years or so.
That's
yeah, it's
unbelievable.
Been.
Wow.
So I think it first popped up around 2010, 2011. The Attorney General's Department's been pushing it for about 4 years and just waiting to find someone who will be willing to do it. And they found someone in George Brandis. So that's where we are today.
And I think that's one of the most comical things about this whole thing.
Yep.
Because George Brandis, he doesn't really know that much about it, I feel.
No, if you don't know about data retention, you probably know about that interview he gave where he was trying to explain what metadata was.
Yes.
And he was like, it's the internet browsing history, it's the website you visit, but not the actual website. Yeah, it was a mess.
Well, this is a good place to start because
exactly.
for those who don't know, what exactly is metadata?
Metadata is a term I hate using because it doesn't really say all that much. It's basically the information about communication. So it's not, you know, they're not listening on your phone calls, they're not reading your text messages, but they will know who you've been talking to, when you talk to them, how long you talk to them for, and that transcends over email, calls, text messages, everything like that. You know, they won't know the website you visit, but they'll know, say, whatever IP address you had assigned to you when you were visiting a website. So that's basically like if the police went and got a list of all IP addresses that visited, a website that was illegal, then they can match it up.
Oh, so they can kind of go reverse way kind of to find the information.
Yeah, exactly. So they won't know your browsing history, but they will be able to track you down if you're looking at a website that you particularly like.
So they can't go to you and say, oh, we've seen you that you've been to these websites, but they can go to the website and go, let's see who visited you.
Yep,
that's horrible.
Okay, So if I'm going to Manhunt, for example, website, so they can't tell that I've been to Manhunt. Is that right?
No, they can't.
But they can go to Manhunt and say, who's visited you?
They could try. I imagine Manhunt would have fairly strict privacy regulations in place. Unless there was something illegal on Manhunt that they needed to track down, then I can't see any. You know, there might be something like if there's child exploitation or something.
Right.
That's usually the example. That's the most extreme example.
Solicitation?
Solicitation, maybe. I feel like that's probably a more effort than it's worth for them to go down. Like there's just so many other ways they can get around that.
But. Okay. What's the definition of what's the difference between data and metadata?
Data would be your actual email, whereas
cockpicks,
yes. Well, actually, yeah. So that's a good example. So it's not a picture of your cock. It's where you were, what phone took it, where you were when you took it, the time and the date and everything like that, rather than the actual image itself.
So all that information about where and when and how and what device is connected to the image,
yep.
But the law enforcement agency can't actually see the image itself.
No, they can't. That's basically the crux of it. But the problem with this is that metadata and data are so tied in together that the telcos that are going to have to collect all this data for them are going to have to sift through it all and pick it all apart and store it in a format that the agencies can then access when they need to.
Because I was thinking, 10, 15 years ago, you've got your landline phone and you got your bill and you could see easily, you had your list, who you called.
They still do this for mobiles?
They do as well. But so that would be similar to metadata, right?
Yeah, fairly similar.
Oh, yeah, I guess it would be.
But obviously with smartphones, you've got, a whole range of apps.
Yeah.
So
that is the major flaw with the legislation. So the only thing they're collecting is what the telcos can see. So if they can't collect your who you've been talking to on Grindr, for example, because that's an app that sits over the top of what the telcos do. So that's something that is, Grindr has all their information in the US, unless the NSA is tapping that, which is entirely possible.
Yeah.
The Australian government can't get access to that because it's just so far out of the jurisdiction. So, Grindr, WhatsApp.
So WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, those things. So
they're out of the reach.
They can't see.
So if people are texting or messaging through apps, they can't get their hands on that.
No. And so if you've got iMessage on your phone or any other sort of app that doesn't use, traditional SMS, then you're pretty much protected from data retention, which is why the whole
maybe that's why all the Germans maybe that's why all the Germans use WhatsApp.
So Germany has fairly strict data protection laws anyway, so they're not as crazy as we are with this. We've got a little bit off the deep end with it,
because they're like when I was living in Germany, they were all terrified that everyone was going to see anything. Freaking out. That's probably because of the SS days, the Stasi. But
God, went already.
So I think there are ways around.
So there are ways around that. So who can if the telcos are collecting the data? Let's assume they are.
Which they are.
Which they already are.
They are not collecting all the data that the government wants them to collect. There's one ISP that I know that doesn't collect, say, IP address data, and a lot of them aren't recording of them for as long as they need to anymore. It's basically whatever they can be bothered to keep. Telstra's probably keeps more of it than anyone else because they're so big and they can afford to. But
they have the space.
Yeah, there's something like 70 telcos in Australia, and they have very little need to store anything more than what they need for their own billing purposes.
Okay.
So under the legislation before Parliament at the moment, who can actually access the data?
When it
goes through,
it was up to about under the law today, about 100 agencies can get access to it. So that's from ASIO down to your local council if they're worried that you're dumping rubbish, or the RSPCA can get a hold of it as well. The government is smartly narrowing that down a little bit to I think about 20 agencies, and they're mainly law enforcement agencies. So you've got AFPs, New South Wales Police, Victoria Police, ASIC for some reason, and the ACCC. So it is helpful, but obviously if another agency wants access to it, they can just go hit up the local police and say, hey, we're interested in this person's data, we think they've committed a crime, can you go get it? So it's not entirely
I was trying to think of a scenario before, and so let's say, and we'll use New South Wales as an example. In New South Wales, transmission of HIV is it can be a criminal act if it's done without reasonable precautions.
Yeah,
like if you haven't told them.
Yeah,
if you're positive.
Yeah. So can metadata be used in a scenario whereby there's a HIV transmission occurs, and therefore, and the person who seroconverts goes to law enforcement agency and says, I became HIV positive, no one told me.
I think it might be this person, these are the days that I was talking to them.
Can metadata be used by law enforcement agencies to track an individual in that circumstance?
Probably could. In those circumstances, they could probably say, I think it's this person, and then they go access that person's metadata and see who they've been talking to and when and where.
Could they do that now?
They could, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So, the example that is commonly used, and it's probably a good example, actually. So, the one I use is normally, like, a woman finding out she's pregnant or something like that. But you can use it for someone who may be in the closet still.
Oh, yeah.
You can see who they've been calling. They might call, a clinic or something like that, find a positive result, and then be calling, like, all the people that they've been sleeping with, and mm-hmm. that can out them not only as gay but also as positive without them wanting to have it known. So mm-hmm. that sort of information is very easy to... You can look at that information without knowing the content of what they've been talking about and still figure out what they're actually talking about.
So the big difference about the legislation is nothing's really changing in the way that the authorities can access the information. It's just the information's around for longer?
It's around for 2 years now. And there is more data that they're collecting they're not collecting.
Yeah, not just the phone data. There's all the other data. All
IP and everything like that, yeah.
Right, okay. Mm. So the only thing that's current that will be in the new legislation, if it goes through, is the phone data.
Phone records and pretty much phone records, yeah. And sort of cell tower info. So, like, it was used in the Gilmar case. That's the one that that's another example they used. So they got what they call tower dumps. So they went to the towers near where she was killed or kidnapped.
Yeah.
And basically told the telcos to dump a log of every mobile phone that had been connected to that tower at that specific time.
Out.
And that's how they sort of tracked down and work out who it was.
This is kind of like what happened in Serial, right?
It's exactly the same as what's happened in Serial.
Right, okay.
We're talking with Josh Taylor about data retention. If you've got a question, let us know. 0427-JOY-949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au.
We've got a text message already in that says, great discussion, Big Brother looms.
Yes.
He certainly does.
So Josh, what's your position on this? Is as we're just saying, it's not that different to what already is available and is already done.
I think the current scheme should be taken away. I don't think I think we have a certain right to privacy. I don't think we deserve to have our data collected. And you only have to look at some of the sort of big high-profile data breaches, Sony having all their movies leaked online and stuff like that, and all those, lovely emails, to see that data breaches occur all the time. And it's only a matter of time before one... telco gets slack with their security, and then everyone's call records and IP addresses and all that sort of stuff are online. So I think there is in other jurisdictions in the world where they don't have this, it hasn't been proven that it's harmed the ability for police to investigate. The access to it is still questionable because there's not a warrant scheme. There's going to be a warrant scheme for journalists, which I think is, as a journalist, it's awesome for me, but for everyone else, it's not that great.
I saw an interview this morning on News Breakfast that said the journalist on there said that the new laws, if someone needs a warrant to access journalist information, then that's actually more protection than what journalists have now.
Yeah, that's more than we have now. But I still don't think it's all that great because it's still, I don't know. There's still ways around it and to be able to get
exactly because sort of, you can always go the back way, right?
Yeah. You can always find somewhere else to go through.
Mm. Is it a case that is that I can opt out somehow?
You can opt out. You can't opt out any sort of legal way. Well, you can. You can't. Write to your telco and say, "Can I not have my data retained?" But you can use methods to mask what you're doing. You can use a VPN. What people use to watch Netflix now, you can use that to mask your IP address online. I guess
using apps for your messaging.
And using apps for your messaging.
Or even apps for your phone calls.
And phone calls, yeah. WhatsApp is introducing a voice service as well soon. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the easiest way to get around it.
and just before we have a quick break, before we get to some other people on the line, is it a case that the telcos will have some huge cost that they're going to have to bear now that will flow through to consumers?
Yeah, so the estimate is something like $300 million for them to all set it up. And then there's obviously the operation costs. And the government has said that they're going to contribute a little bit to the costs, but so far they haven't explained to the public how much they're actually going to be willing to contribute. And, whatever's left over, the telcos are just going to pass on extra costs for your phone bill.
We are speaking with Josh Taylor from ZDNet about data retention. Now, James, we are going to get Alan Sandel on the line.
Yes, MP for Melbourne. will be on the phone with us very soon to talk what their stance is.
Exactly, from the Victorian Greens. Mm-hmm. If you've got a question, 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. This is Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. With James Finlay and Andrew the Apprentice, and in the studio with us, Josh Taylor, journalist with ZDNet, tech extraordinaire, knows everything about metadata.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Now, this is in the Parliament at the moment. They're debating it, right?
So it passed the House of Representatives. I think it should have passed the House by now, but it's going to the Senate tomorrow, I believe, and then they're going to introduce a whole bunch of amendments that Labor has put up to make it slightly easier to swallow.
Right, okay. Well, on the line with us is not a federal politician, but she's close enough. She's a state politician, and she is the local member. Well, she's the member for Melbourne, Greens member Ellen Sandal. Good evening. How are you?
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. I know that the federal senators are still up there in Parliament, so I appreciate you taking the time to talk to a lowly state. Yeah.
Well, you know, you get what you can. Now, thanks so much for joining us. We realise this isn't really a state issue, but no doubt you are all over the issue anyway.
Oh, yeah, it's an issue for all of us. It's going to affect all of our lives, the fact that the government can keep a bit of a trail of what we've been doing and what we've been up to, even if we're not suspected of any crime. It goes against privacy laws, but it also just goes against that sense of justice that you should only be surveilled if you've actually been suspected of a crime.
Now, Josh just mentioned that Labor have some amendments that they're putting forward. Can you tell us about some of the Green amendments or some of the things that the Greens are putting forward that they want changed with this?
Well, we don't want it at all. We don't just want it slightly changed. We'd like it to disappear. We think it's fundamentally against our human rights. Labor's put up, and you guys probably know more about the detail than I do, but they've put up an amendment to try and protect journalists, saying that you would still need a warrant to collect journalist data, ostensibly to protect their sources, but they wouldn't need a warrant to protect to look at the data from journalist sources. So it really doesn't do that much. We just need to kill this bill. It's not good for Australians. So, yes, we'll be voting against it.
Would the Greens go one step further and say that companies should be keeping less information that they have already?
Yeah, well, we've seen, you know, with the reports coming out of the NSA in the US, and we know that some big companies like Google they have a lot of data on us. That's pretty worrying. But for a state, for a government to be keeping that data, I think is the most worrying thing, and for it to be put into our legislation, yeah, not a good idea.
And Ellen, do you think there's... Australia is a pretty good democracy, I guess, in comparison to some others around the world. Do you think there's a risk that it could be the data could be misused much?
Look, there definitely is. I don't think we can ever place 100% trust in our governments to use our information wisely, and that's why we have laws to protect our privacy and laws to say that governments can't surveil us or say send us to jail without a fair trial. We have all these protections that are there to protect our human rights and to protect the rule of law, to make it a fair society. And I think if you start eroding them, you just don't know where it's going to end. So even though we might say, look, we trust this mob in Canberra, or you know, generally we trust Australian politicians, I think it's never a good idea to erode in law some of those fundamental human rights, like the right to privacy, like the right to not be surveilled if you haven't been suspected of any crime.
And Ellen, so do you know what your federal counterparts are going to be doing when it comes to the Senate? Is there any sort of stalling mechanism that the senators can use to try and, you know, I guess, if not stop it, then drag it out for as long as possible?
Look, I'm sure they'll be looking at all of those types of tactics, because we just want the outcome, which is that this bill goes away and then our human rights aren't violated. But they've been talking to the other crossbenchers, as we know that the government doesn't have a majority in the Senate, which means on bills like this, if we get enough people to see sense on it, then we can actually stop it. The problem with this bill is that Labor and Liberal have been joining together to try and push it through. So usually we can use the crossbench to stop things if, say, the government wants something but Labor's on our side. Unfortunately, in this circumstance, Labor and Liberal have teamed up which means they have the numbers to pass it if they want. So the best thing people can do is really get onto their Labor senators and say, hang on, this is not a good idea. This, even with this small concession carving out journalists, it's still a real violation of the human rights of all of us, and they should vote against it.
Yeah, from my observation, I think that since 2001, Labor has pretty much just waved through most national security legislation, and this seems to be the first one that they've sort of stopped and said, hey, actually, maybe we should have a look at this one. But they still seem to be, you know, willing to at least, if not pass it in its current form, put up amendments that we have yet to see.
Yeah, that's right. And Labor and Liberal are often a unity ticket on national security. In some circumstances, that's good, but no legislation should be above scrutiny. And Labor should actually be looking at each piece of legislation on its merits. And the only reason that they've backed down slightly on this one is because there's been such a huge public campaign from the Greens, but also from journalists who were really worried about it, and just human rights campaigners, particularly people who are very active on the internet, who know that this will really destroy their privacy and their rights. So good on all the people who've been out there campaigning, but we've still got a bit of a way to go because they've only slightly softened their position, and I'm still a bit worried they'll cave in to Tony Abbott.
Now, the argument that's put forward is that, you know, it's to stop or halt terrorism, and it's a matter of national security that we need to keep this information. Do the Greens agree of anything about that? Like, to track down, well, they say it's to, you know, to find terrorists. Are there other ways to do that?
Well, look, we consider legislation on the evidence. We're about evidence-based policy, which I think all parties should be about. So when this bill came before us in the first instance, we said, that's fine, we'll take a look at it. Can you give us some evidence from any country in the world that does this, that data retention actually improves community safety, helps reduce crime, helps reduce terrorism? But the government wasn't able to provide even one bit of evidence that showed that this works anywhere in the world. So, look, that's a bit of a deal breaker for us. If it's not an evidence-based policy, then, you know, if it's not actually going to do what they're suggesting, I get the sense that really what they're doing is, we call it flicking the switch to khaki. They invoke national security in times of crisis to overreach, really, and get much more power for the security agencies than they ever need to prevent crime.
Well, Ellen, thanks for taking the time to chat with us tonight about that.
That's okay. I thought you were going to ask me about my views on metadata and sex life. I was in
Do you have something else that you want to add that you hadn't said yet?
Oh, look, I think it's just that what people should understand is that metadata actually tells a big story about your life. So, you know, if you're, say, looking up a gay dating service or a BDSM shop, or if, you know, one day you look up something about sexual health on the internet and then you call your boyfriend, then you call a HIV support line, that tells a pretty strong story about your life. So even though they can't see the content of your emails or your phone calls, they can piece together a story that could be quite damning, and information that people might not want to get out about their lives. And I think we all have the right to privacy in those sensitive situations.
Well, yeah, that's right. And especially when we still don't live in a world where people feel comfortable to come out, then, you know, this data could be quite valuable to those people. Imagine, you know, all those footballers who are sending text messages and making phone calls and visiting websites.
That's right. And the thing about it also is that it's just held for government use. But who knows when, you know, hackers are pretty talented these days. Who's
well,
going
right.
to hack
yeah.
into that and then use that for commercial purposes, or looking at people as to whether they should give them a job or whether they should give them insurance, all of those types of things are questions we should ask.
Yeah, the government says that, you know, say journalists are not the target of this, but I don't think that's the point. If anyone can get their hands on this data eventually, then, you know, people can use it for whatever reason.
That's right. Well, good talking to you.
Lovely talking to you too. That's Ellen Sandel there, the state member for Melbourne for the Greens.
Joy 94.9.
Andrew the Apprentice and James Finlay with you for Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. We are talking metadata and all things, well, gay. Tech and
whether or not the metadata retention laws are going to impact really on our gay community.
And even our closeted community. When I thought about the footy players earlier, I was like, oh, shit.
Yes.
In the studio, joining us to talk about metadata, because he is the one who's, well, on top of it.
Yep.
We're not. Josh Taylor from ZDNet. If you have a question, send it in 0427JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au, and we will get to it.
And, you know, not everybody's a Kylie. We've had some messages through.
Surprise, surprise.
I know. a happy listener has contacted us and, covered off a few things that we're trying to cover off here as well. Mm-hmm. He's asking, will all my text messages, Grindr messages, WhatsApp messages be available for people in the future?
In the future. That's a good thing. How much data do the app companies keep?
It varies from app company to app company. So, a lot of them, since the Snowden revelations came out about how much the NSA was collecting, have changed their practices. And so, for example, Apple, mm-hmm. They now encrypt their iMessage communications from end to end. So they have no actual oversight of what messages you're sending to each other.
And
They used to. Mm-hmm. They can't actually decrypt it. And Google's doing the same thing with their own messaging services now too. So slightly better.
But Grindr, for example, do they have all messages and stuff?
I'm not sure. I have a feeling that they probably do. I mean, if you look at...
imagine how many cockpits they have.
It would be a treasure trove.
It would be quite the treasure trove. What about locations with Grindr?
That was one thing that... there's been a fair bit of controversy about that and with Hornet and some of those other sort of location-based apps, because there's the way they developed that. What they call the API for those apps is it's fairly public information about if you choose to identify where you are located, so you're 500 meters from that guy you want to hook up with.
Mm.
If you plug that into some people have developed apps, you can actually hone in and see who's in an area. Just like you can see their profile picture, exact location,
like a geocoding type thing.
Yeah.
Well, the location thing on those apps is pretty damn accurate. Like if I zoom in enough on the location on the app,
yep.
You can see which room I'm in the room, like
yep.
in my house.
Yeah.
Like it's creepy.
Wow.
Yeah. So that sort of information, I don't know if they collect it, but it is out there. So it is potential for if you want to track someone.
Well, for anyone who hasn't looked up, what is it? google.com/location history or something, that can freak people out because
I haven't done that. No.
Oh, it shows you the location you've been at, like, for however long it's been collecting your data.
Okay.
And you can go to any day on the calendar and it will show you at what time you're at what location because of your phone.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like, and I used it for my advantage once because I was hooking up with this guy and he was really, he was quite nervous. He was closeted. He wasn't really confident about, whether I would turn up or not. And so I ended up going to his house. And then he's like, oh, I'm not there anymore. I didn't think you would come. I'm like, well, I came. Didn't end up coming. And then so I went back home. And he's like, oh, well, how do I know that you were even at my house? And I was like, screenshotted my Google history location. I was like, there. I was there. It even shows you.
Well done.
So you're okay with data collection as long as it helps you prove a point.
Yeah. As long as I can prove to some guy that I was actually waiting outside his house, I'm okay with it.
Very good. Josh, as we know, under the laws going before Parliament, at the moment it's 2 years they're meant to hold it for, the telcos. Do you think we'll be in a position where that will change in the future, extended in particular?
If it does, it has to go through the Parliament again.
Yeah.
So thankfully they can't change the period. Originally, under the legislation, we haven't seen the amendments yet, but they're going to amend it so that originally that they wanted to change it so that the Attorney General of the day could define whatever data they want to retain. And that's kind of a scary thing.
That's probably more scary than...
Yeah. Brandis maybe not the best Attorney General, but there could be much, much worse one in the future that suddenly decides, oh, we want web browsing history. We want, we want your Grindr data. We want everything about you.
That's what we're talking to Ellen about. We have a very high level of trust for government in Australia at the moment.
We do.
But that can change.
Yes. It might be okay for the current government. They may not be doing nefarious things, although some question that. But who knows what might happen in 10 years. Thankfully, the amendment we should see soon will make it so that the Parliament has to approve anything like that.
Now, one question has come in, and it's about data retention being accessed in the future.
Yep.
And it says that in 60 years, my extended family members want to get access to my data if I pass, for example. Similar to those who seek the diaries of grandparents or, you know, now, you know, people looking for their diaries.
Yes.
Do you think that people will be able to find this data in the future?
So for social networks, for example, like Facebook has a facility where you can now like preserve a person's who's died's Facebook page. It's in memorial, and you can get all the data from that if you've set it up, I think, prior to you dying. But in terms of data, so Telstra has announced recently that they're going to have a facility where you can request all your stored metadata from them for, I think it's like $25 or something. There's going to be some sort of fee for it, but you will be able to get all of your own data. They've been fighting for it. So one
your own data? Like no one else's?
Your own. Well, that'd be a violation of their privacy.
but in this case, like it's my dead grandfather's data. You can't get that.
I reckon he'd probably consented to it before he died. Because can you imagine some of the stuff that you'd find out about?
Like, I would know. I would not want to know. Okay, great. We got another text in that says, "Hey boys, are you suggesting that we disimbue the government of its power to protect the community because others may, at a later stage, commit crimes, i.e., hacking into government databases?"
Well, isn't that the whole thing? Why are we all having our data collected on the off chance that someone else may in the future commit a crime? Isn't that the whole basis for collecting the data in the first place?
Sounds a little bit Minority Reporting.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a bit that way. So we're collecting all this data. We're collecting the haystack, just for a few needles here and there. It just seems a bit ridiculous.
Right. Ah, okay. That's very good.
Well done. Well done.
You've used that one before, haven't you?
Yes.
And as we were saying before, there's current systems in place for law enforcement agencies to look up to find these things.
Yeah, yeah. So they've had access to it for years and years. I think there's something like in the last reporting, 500,000 accesses or requests for data in the last in a 12-month period. So that's not an insignificant amount of requests. And you've got to wonder, if there was a little bit more of a hurdle, if they had to actually prove that it was necessary, how many would have actually gone through?
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
Hide and seek.
That's right, it is hide and seek.
Who were they? Where did they come from?
It is hide and seek. Time to wrap things up, James.
Yes, it is.
Now, Josh Taylor's been in the studio with us from ZDNet talking about data retention.
What are some of the big points as gays that we should be thinking about?
I think in terms of the record of who you've been talking to, maybe the websites that you're visiting, just sort of be mindful that everything you do is kind of on the record, as I say.
So if people are worried, they should.
I mean, I wouldn't be worried about not using Grindr or something like that. I think that's not a huge. Mm-hmm. It's not a huge focus for them at the moment.
Yeah, maybe use an app for your messaging.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you use
an
app for your messaging?
I see. This is a problem. So as a journalist, I try to get off those sorts of things, but it's often the main form of communication for other people. So I'll use iMessage when I can.
Has a Apple.
No, and I use a lot of Facebook Messenger and Google Hangouts and stuff like that, but whatever's convenient to everyone else, really.
And as you said before, those platforms that are from overseas are not covered, really.
Not by this, but obviously you've got whatever the NSA can tap its tentacles into.
Sure.
Yeah, so I guess if we can't access it, they can ask them to access it.
Yeah, there's this ominous scheme called the Five Eyes project, which connects Australia, the US, and a whole bunch of other countries, and they share information that way.
So nothing sacred.
Well, that's it for another program. Don't forget, you can check out our podcasts at joy.org.au/hideandseek. A big thank you to David for those.
Yes.
Brett and Andrew are coming up next with the Chatterbox.
That's right. They're ready. Did you have a lovely holiday? You went away for a little bit. Yep, they're nodding. No doubt we'll be hearing about a little bit about that. No, don't want to talk about it. They're shaking their heads. Moved on from that. Old news. Yeah. that was last week. That's like I was away, boys. Anyway, Brett and Andrew are up next with Chatterbox.
That's right.
Josh Taylor, thank you so much for joining us. If anyone wants to follow your tracks, how can they do it?
On zdnet.com, or you can follow me on Twitter, which is Josh Gnosis.
Wonderful.
Also, a big thank you to Ellen Sandel, MLA for Melbourne from the Victorian Greens. Great to have her with us.
She was right up. She knew what she was talking about.
She knew what she was talking about. Big thank you to everyone who messaged in, and we'll see you next week.
Good night.
Bye.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide-and-seek.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.